Welcome to How to Build a Tent, the podcast on how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show with a friend. We are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field and you'll get a great subscription. There's no better subscription out there where you get tons of benefits. You get a free HTBT mug that you can drink alongside with me. Even though you can't see it right now because I'm only doing the audio shows because I'm in the transition of moving, you can be drinking alongside of me even though you don't see it with the same mug. And that is just a good thing. You can feel the camaraderie, the unity together as we all try to be successful together. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTBT in the memo field and sign up. If you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions, comments, want to send me some pictures of any other delicious scotches like some of you have done, you can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent, especially on Minds. Go check that out. If you haven't joined Minds yet, you might want to do that. A lot of us are over there and it looks like they're not censoring us, which is always a bonus. You get to post your stuff to your followers and they actually get to see it. It's a novel concept. It's amazing. Check it out. You can also find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, sometimes, unless they're censoring me. I saw somebody comment on one of the shows saying that the video was no longer available, but when I went to go play it, it played. And then I went to go look at their comment and reply, it censored their comments out. So I couldn't even see their comments reply to it when I looked at it through my own personal page, which is amazing and funny and terrible all at the same time. All that to say, we need to find something else, and maybe Minds is it. So there's a bunch of us from the Fight Laugh Feast Network over there already. Come join us. Come give us all a follow and jump in on the uncensored conversations. China is going to be pulling out their rare earth minerals card in this trade war. I don't know if you've heard of it. We are in a full-blown trade war, and it's going to come down to who's going to blink first. And it's going to be really interesting to see who does that. Now, you may be thinking, wow, rare earth minerals. Those are rare. They must be incredibly valuable. What is the U.S. going to do? From what I understand, though, rare earth minerals aren't actually rare. There's 17 or 18 of them that are considered these rare earth minerals. And it's not even that there's not a lot of it on the earth. It's actually quite prevalent. They say it's as common as copper is, which copper is kind of expensive too. I love cooking with copper pans, but man, those things are expensive. But if you have never cooked with copper pans before, I would highly suggest it. I'm a big cooking fan, so I love having really nice stuff to cook with because it makes it better. The two things you need to be a good cook is starting with great ingredients, that's half the battle, and then also having great cooking tools. That's why I have the best grills, cooking stuff, all that, because I love cooking and I love people enjoying my cooking. And so you got to do those two things. But anyways, what was I saying? Oh yeah, rare earth minerals. They're not as rare as it seems. They're as common as copper. But the problem is how do you harvest them and how do you mine them out of the earth? And it takes a lot of pollutants. It takes a lot of breaking the regulations that we have in the United States, but we actually, from what I understand, have them as well. And that's a kind of interesting card to be hinting at from the Chinese to be playing on us. Like, if that's the card that they're trying to leverage over us, there's other places that sell these rare earth minerals, and like we said, they're not really rare. They are important. We use them in a lot of our electronics. We depend on them from China right now. But they're not the only game in town, and it's not that rare. And they know we know this. So if this is their like big wild card that they're bringing out to the table, that's gonna be the ace that they use, the ace in the hole, I don't know how many different card references I can use. That kind of seems to me that China is really running out of plays, and they're not quite sure how to get Trump to fold. And we've talked about before of how many different companies are now purchasing from Vietnam and other Asian countries and other places, how there is companies coming to the United States that are starting to build factories here. We'll get to that one of those in a second. And if we are starting, like Vietnam is growing at an exponential rate right now because of how many people or how many companies are going to Vietnam to replace China with. And the only thing China has now is rare earth minerals. I mean, you've heard that they own a lot of our debt. We've borrowed a lot of money from them. But they really can't do that much with those either, because with the debt either, because when they start selling those bonds, like to threaten us with, well, there is a lot of pain that's going to happen to the Chinese too, because they depend on us buying from them. And if we go into a recession because they sold all those bonds off, then we're not going to be able to continue to buy the products at a rate that they need us to for them to grow and to continue their expansion, which is in doubt. There's a lot of people starting to find clues and hints that the Chinese economy is not doing really well right now, which is another indicator to me that this trade dispute is probably not going to last as long as a lot of people think. It'll be really interesting, though, to see how it turns out, and very blood pressure inducing for those of us watching the stock market. Man, that stock market just has no guts, right? As soon as there's any negative news, as soon as you hear anything threatening or negative about a trade deal, the stocks just take a dive, which might mean you should kind of hedge against that, maybe look into some volatility plays and some other kinds of ways to mitigate the risk of what this trade war can bring with some more negative news. I don't think it's going to be resolved overnight, but I don't really see this thing going on much longer, especially with some people saying that our economy is continuing to grow and healthy. And if that continues to happen and the Chinese are not growing at a rate that they need to compete with us, this could be over sooner than later. I don't know. I'm not making a prediction. There's a lot smarter people than me with a lot more information than me that are saying different things. So I don't really know what to say except just trying to use logic and common sense in this. All right, some good news. LG Electronics debuted their first washing machine plant. It's a Korean company, South Korean company, obviously. North Korea doesn't really make anything except starvation, death, and hunger. They built their first washing machine plant in the US, and it's in Tennessee, hundreds of jobs, and that's really cool. And it's interesting to see manufacturing starting to come back to the United States, just like the president predicted would happen. The more we import from other countries besides China, the more we produce ourselves, the bigger China is going to take on this loss. And the longer the trade war happens, the more this is going to be true. And when the trade war is over, people aren't just going to flock back to China. They're going to have other processes already established, and if they don't make monetary sense to go back to China, then they're not going to, and that can be a bunch of lost revenue, a lost production, manufacturing, GDP for China. So they all have that going on in their mind as well. But the good news is we're starting to see factories in places like Tennessee, which could be a good thing for Trump when he's getting reelected. And you may be asking, wow, you have become quite a Trump fan. Well, I'm going to be a Trump fan because I really think he's done a great job with the economy. I think he's done a great job in a lot of different areas, and the alternative will be far worse. So yeah, I guess I am now a Trump fan. Give me the hat. And I will shill for him all day long as he keeps on doing what he's been doing. Jamie Dimon, the Chase CEO, warns that about the biggest near-term risk to the U.S. economy is this trade war. But at the same time, he's saying we're not seeing a recession for another year or two. And again, this is another mixed bag, which makes it really hard for us as business people, as people looking to plan to make investments, to take risk, to do entrepreneurial endeavors, is what is going to happen with the economy? And I mean, just man, some people are saying a recession is going to happen soon. Some people say a recession is going to happen in a year and a half. I personally, again, I'm not like taking my expertise and opinion with a grain of salt, but I'm still not seeing anything happen really recessionary until a year and a half. We might start slowing growth because of the trade war. We might start slowing down. We might go horizontal, but I don't see a recession with just the numbers so far that have been coming out, the jobs reports, the manufacturing, the housing market. I don't see us going into a recession for at least 5 or 6 more quarters, which is a year and a half. and my opinion can change, but as of what I'm seeing right now, that's what I see, especially because interest rates are so low. That's going to mean that housing prices are going to go up. They have an inverse relationship. If housing can start taking off, can start growing, and we can start building more homes and start seeing that sector really take off, that could be a lot of good things for people going forward. The sentiment of the economy will improve because you'll see your housing price go up, and that could be a really good sign too. But there was a survey by Duke of CFOs expecting a recession. 67% say by quarter three of 2020. Well, we are in quarter two of 2019, so a year and a quarter, 67% chance of a recession, and 84% chance of a recession in 2021. So the CFOs that have been polled, thinking a year or two out, and that seems about right to me. That seems about where we can expect one. And you might hear me say recession and think, oh my gosh, like the Great Recession. I don't even necessarily think it's gonna be like a major recession. Like we could just have a negative growth for one or for two quarters, definition of a recession, and pop right back up. It remains to see who wins 2020. If Trump continues, if he wins, to do what he's been doing. I mean, those tax cuts, if we can continue to cut taxes, if we can start cutting back on spending, which I know he hasn't done, I'm going to be fair, he shouldn't be signing bills that are increasing spending, because that's going to impact us as business people when we have to borrow money because interest rates are going to go up. But cutting regulations, cutting taxes, if you can do those things, then we are going to be in good shape. Even if we do see a recession, I think it's going to be a really short recession and we'll bounce right back from it. So take heart in that. And okay, so the next news headline I saw, which is honestly, it really baffled me, because the Federal Reserve said they're not touching rates. They're not lowering rates. They said that in their minutes, not 2 weeks ago. They said they are not going to be changing their rates, but the market is starting to price in two cuts, not one cut, not one rate cut, but two rate cuts. And so why is this significant? Well, as a lot of you know, cutting rates allows for more spending because you can borrow more money at a cheaper rate. It's designed to boost the economy. It's designed to incentivize people to invest and grow and to stimulate the economy. And it is typically done when there is the need to spur growth if inflation isn't high, which it hasn't been for some time. But the economy has been doing pretty well, and the Federal Reserve has been saying that. It's not going as great as they thought. They were going to keep raising rates, and they decided not to. They're going to keep them the same. But now, the market, they say it's 63% chance that the first rate hike is going to be in September, 4 months away. And the second rate hike, not the first, not like September or later, but after they raise them in September, they 63% chance. The market has a 62% chance that they're going to raise it another time in January. So the feds are saying no rate hikes. The market is pricing in two rate hikes, which means when this happens in September, when September comes around, when January comes around, be paying attention, because if it doesn't seem to you that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates or cut rates, excuse me, if it seems to you that they're not going to cut rates, be prepared for the market to take a dive, because they're pricing in a cut rate. And what happens when they price in a rate cut, I said cut rate, it's a rate cut. When they price that in and it doesn't happen, the stock market's going to drop again. So you might be thinking about that, trying to be reading the tea leaves. Again, tea leaves are not a good sound strategy, but just trying to get a feel to see what the Federal Reserve is actually going to do. And if you think they're not going to cut rates, you might want to invest in some short-term plays that will make you some money when the stock market goes down. Short the market and see how that plays out. Because like I said, just a week after the meeting minutes, they're already talking. A week or two, it's been a week or two, and they said literally for some time, they're going to keep rates the way they are. Now, what does this mean for business people? Well, this means that we can, I imagine, unless something crazy happens, that the Fed is going to keep the rates the same. I don't know why the market is pricing in these rate cuts. And I might be wrong. Again, the market is a lot smarter than I am. It's really hard to outsmart the market, and I am not pretending that I am smarter than the market. But if we can hold these rates the same, the constant, we can start planning, we can start investing, we can start using our financial models, we can start creating our strategies or updating our strategies to allow for the rates to borrow money. We can start locking in rates, we can start thinking about variable rates on taking loans out for our company based on this knowledge. And it's important. And it's especially important right now because rates are really low. I think they're dropped in the low twos. If it serves me correctly, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, which means there is a lot of cheap money out there, a lot of cheap money that hasn't been this cheap for a while. And that means that we can borrow more money, which is a good incentive. And this is also a good incentive for those tech companies, those startup companies in the Russell 2000 that are going to, that have a lot of their debt and they're financing their company a lot through bonds and are going to be able to take advantage of these 2% low interest rates, and which means they'll be able to grow faster, be able to borrow money at a cheaper rate, which is going to increase cash, which is going to increase profitability. It's going to be less of a cost to borrow money, which might be a great thing to look at, a great set of companies to look at for investors to say, hey, these companies are going to start taking advantage of these low rates. They're going to start to grow. Maybe I'll start to look at the Russell 2000 and the tech sector to see if there's some buying opportunities there. And man, the market has gone down for a couple days now, a couple weeks, because of all this trade talk and this trade pessimism. There's a lot of good buying opportunities out there. There's never been a better time to start saving up, to be able to be prepared to take advantage of these buying opportunities. Don't pass up this opportunity. Yes, it's volatile, it's hard, but if you're doing your research, you're investing in solid companies, you're taking advice of other publications that are doing the research for you, you're double checking the research, that there's, then you can make a decision and be able to sit through and have confidence, even in the turbulence, that you have a good company, that you bought it at a good price. And in the long term, you are going to benefit from it. Hold on to your seatbelts, have confidence in your research, and we're going to get through this. The economy is doing really well. I think that China is starting to show a lot of weakness. I think this trade war is going to be over sooner than later. And we can start pricing in and start making decisions based on these factors that we just talked about today. And we can go out and be successful together. God bless.